the author of Hebrews tells how God speaks to mankind in accordance with his plan of salvation. So we're going to look today at the various incidents and ways that are recorded in the Bible telling us of those communications that were made in times past as well as in these last days. But looking at these situations will help us to appreciate how God is talking to us today. So let's look at the first window frame. In time past, verse 1, it says, God, who at various times and in various or different ways spoke in time past to the fathers and or by the prophets. We can ask, well, who are the fathers? The Greek word for fathers is pater, P-A-T-E-R, meaning father or parent. Some translations will use the word ancestors or in that place in of fathers. And parents and ancestors would include the mothers as well. So we can think of it as a family ancestral tree. I look into my own and it goes back a couple of centuries. And it's a genealogy. And it speaks to those people who have heard the Word of God or read it or somehow God has spoken to them in various ways, as you said, by the prophets. And so we find that in the Old Testament, God did speak to various peoples. And we have record of that, a number of instances where we see. What's the first one? Who would be the first people that heard or that God talked to? And of course, that would be Adam and Eve, right? Adam and Eve. You'll find that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, and also in Genesis 3, verses 9 through 24, where we see God speaking to Adam and Eve. And he also spoke to Cain in Genesis 4, verse 6. But what I wanted to bring out here in these scriptures that we see the name the Lord God, that's what's recorded, the Lord God is speaking to these people. The Lord is YHWH or YHVH, which is Strong's number 3068, which means self-existent or eternal. Self-existence or eternal. That surely indicates someone who has that essence, being. Human beings aren't like that. This is somebody really strong, powerful. It just this just goes beyond what we can imagine. And then we have God in this Lord God phrase. God is from the word Elohim. Elohim, which is a plural form of El, E-L. That term, that name signifies power, might, and strength. So you can say Elohim is God who is creator, mighty, and strong. That much should come across our minds when we see the Lord God phrase used in the Bible. Who else did God speak to? Noah is one. Genesis 6, verse 13, reference there. And another one is Genesis 8, verses 15 through 17. But even more, let's take a look at Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, not only just Noah, But we also see that God spoke to Noah and his sons. Genesis 9, verse 1. So God blessed Noah and the sons, and his sons said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So his sons, and I would imagine that the sons' wives were included as well, because he was speaking to the family of Noah. In these scriptures that I mention here, we see again God being Elohim, the God who is creator, mighty and strong, which is a plural form as well. And then we see another individual that God has spoken to down the line in this history that's laid out in the Old Testament, and that's Abram. Abram. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we read this. Now the Lord, again, that's YHVH. Now the Lord, the Eternal, had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Again, the Eternal, the one who is self-existent, is talking to Abram. Again, we think of someone who is so powerful. No one's like him, as he says in in Isaiah 46. There's none like me, none whatsoever. There's none like God, none like Elohim or El. That's having that power, that strength, that might, having that ability to create. On the day of Pentecost, 31 A.D., Peter gave a sermon, inspired God by God, and he said in Acts 3, verse 18, we'll pick out just the one scripture, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he is thus fulfilled. And so all of his prophets, and the Old Testament is filled with the names of many prophets. We've heard of a couple of them already. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 20, verse 7, it refers to Abraham as a prophet. And we'll take a look at there, see what it says exactly. Abraham, chapter 20, verse 7. I'll start with verse 6. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. God is talking to Abimelech here in this incident and event. Now, therefore, verse 7, restore the man's wife, as he continues to talk to Abimelech, for he is a prophet. In God's eyes, Abraham fulfilled that responsibility, that role at the time of his life there. And he will pray for you, and you shall live, and so on in that story. Abraham was a prophet. You also know that Moses was a prophet. Turning to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. It says here, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. So Moses is telling the people, there's going to be a prophet that you're going to need to hear with a prophet who is like me. There is a connection between Moses and the prophet to come later. That scripture is referring to Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. And we'll see this scripture was quoted in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3, verse 22, and Acts chapter 7, verse 37. It makes that connection that Jesus Christ and Moses are both prophets. And then, of course, there's a whole bunch of others that you know of as you read throughout the Old Testament. Samuel, Nathan, my echo didn't work very well. I'm being facetious here. Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah, to name a few. And you can come in there and you'll find some prophets that are not named. Who was the prophet that had a school? And that group of people were called the sons of the prophets. I put that question out to you. You can figure it out and find out. But there was a group, and these men were taught. And they were taught the Word of God at that time. So, God has spoken to the fathers, the ancestors, through the prophets at various times, in various ways. Some through dreams, through visions, and others through direct inspiration. And all those words are recorded for us today that's in the Old Testament. It's there for us. Now let's look at the second time window. The second time window of these last days. Hebrews 1, verse 2, where it says that God has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. The word by can also be translated through His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. So when you look at verse 1 of Hebrews 1, you see the word God, and that Greek word is theos. Theos. And we find the link to that term in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And that link is something that we are all aware of, that we are constantly referred to, and it's a very important one for us to think of as we realize God is a family. John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, Logos, and the Word was with God, Theos. And the Word, Logos, was God, Theos. So the two are the same, of the same family. Verse 2, and He was in the beginning with Theos, or God. So John points out this vital connection in his gospel and letter. And it's very good for us to remember that. We do. We remember that. Sometimes you can just go out and walk and look at the creation. Say, you've done all this, and wow. But how was it created? The Father, Theos, created it through Logos, the Son. In John chapter 1, and going to verse 18 now. John chapter 1 and verse 18. Here I'm going to quote some of the scriptures which you have heard before, and these are essential to put into our memory banks. John chapter 1, verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. That is theos, not the logos. This is the Father. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So we see this distinction between theos and logos, the two beings. One has never been seen by any man or any human being, or heard, as we will see. In John chapter 5 and verse 37, and here we have John chapter 5, verse 37, where Jesus Christ is talking. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. So that is very important whenever you want to talk with anybody about God and they have questions. This is really damning evidence against the Trinity doctrine. And that there is just the two, the Father and the Son, theos and logos. The theos has never been seen by anyone at any time, nor had anyone heard him. The Father, the Greek word is pater, as I've said, but also means father or parent. Now, 1 John 4, you know, John, it so happens that, you know, being the Gospel of John, and then we have the letter of John that he wrote, 1 John 4 and verse 12. John writes, no one has seen God at any time. He just emphasizes that point. And it's something that we all have realized, come to realize that, and to understand the reality, you might say, of who God is, what God is, and who's in this family now, today. So, by these scriptures, we have infallible proof that it was the Logos who spoke to various peoples in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ, with the one who spoke to Abraham, Noah, and so on. And that is, he was acting in his capacity as the Word of God. Back to Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. God, theos, is spoken to us by his Son, spoken to us by his Son. The us are people who have lived and died from the time of the beginning of the Church of God and on through the millennium. From that time when Hebrews was written. But even more, because we've learned about the great white throne judgment, and we learned that all mankind can be included within the term us. All mankind will be spoken to. In Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, I just quote that Jesus began his ministry. Mark 1, 14. And now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel, in that good news. So he began his ministry, preaching that new good news. And then, in John chapter 14 again, we come there. It's during that particular Passover evening, where Christ shared this time with his disciples. John chapter 14, verse 10. Here we see a joint effort by the Father and the Son. John chapter 14, verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. They're both active in speaking to people, to human beings, to mankind. They're both involved. They're both intricately involved and intimately involved. So even after Jesus was resurrected, he continued to speak and teach his disciples. And I find that in Luke chapter 24, on the road to Emmaus. Luke chapter 24, verse 25 through 27. As Jesus was listening to the, say, to these guys who had events, and they were relating the events, witnesses, you might say. And when they did not find his body in verse 23, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman said. But him they did not see. They didn't see Jesus there or his body. Then he said to them, Jesus was walking with his disciples there on this road, O foolish one and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, referring to the Old Testament. How was God speaking to those people now through the prophets, through what is in the Old Testament? Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. All that Old Testament's there. Speaks to the background, speaks to the fundamental doctrines, speaks to the authority of the Old Testament and what it teaches, what it speaks to us today when we read. We know from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that it says, and it shows that the Word of God, and even including the words of the Old Testament and the New Testament, that has been inspired God, God breathed. That's what that scripture refers to. And Paul was emphasizing that with Timothy and recalling what Timothy's grandmother and mother had read and learned and had taught Timothy too. Great and wonderful foundation. So the Bible was caused to be written, to be preserved, to be read, to be studied in a very particular way. The book of Acts also shows God's activities that continues through the disciples. And that activity is continuous. It's ongoing. It never stops. Never stops. God does speak to us today. If you want a title, bring it out. God speaks to us. You can refer to the hymn, but that's the title. God speaks to us. Us is all humankind. And that work is evident today. Now, the United Church of God is carrying out the mission given to the disciples by Jesus in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And I'm going to quote the mission statement. The mission of the United Church of God is to proclaim to the world the little understood gospel taught by Jesus Christ, the good news of the coming kingdom of God, and to prepare a people for that coming kingdom. This message not only offers great hope for all of humanity, but encompasses the purpose of human existence. Why we are here, and where our world is headed. End of quote. So that does lead to the fact, that establishes the fact, that God is speaking to us in these last days, as the writer of Hebrews claimed. The United Church of God has a wealth of resources that's available to all. To all of us, and giving us understanding, giving to anyone, understanding and purpose. The website, ucg.org, contains a lot of sermons that we can listen to, as well as the Beyond Today programs, the TV programs, the dailies, and the biblical worldviews. As we see in Romans 10:17. Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So hearing comes in, but we can include reading, as we know. And the church has resources available through the printed word, throughout the printed word. For example, we look at the Bible study aids that are provided by the United Church of God. How many are there? Anybody care to guess? How many of these Bible study aids we have? You want to say 20? No. 40? 45? There are over 50. My last count was 54. 54 Bible study aids covering a wide range of topics that enables anyone to understand Scripture, to understand prophecy, and even understand how to live God's way. That's really the critical part of human life, how to live God's way. When God calls that person and gives them this type of help. In addition to the regular Bible reading and study, these booklets are great tools. And in them are spiritual gems. And there are pearls of great price, just waiting for us to discover and to enjoy this wonderful experience of God, comma, Elohim, comma, who is creator, comma, mighty, strong, the Lord God, the eternal, the self-existent one, and he speaks to us in these last days. Make it personal. You can think of it. Something that's deeply personal. You carry that with you every day, or have it in your lap. You study it. And you can think to yourself, God is speaking to me. He's talking to me. Now, that's special. That is really very special, because God has made, had the Father has a hand in it, called me to learn about him, to have that relationship. That's awesome.